last week we started out discussing the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus, and our emphasis on these spiritual blessings is really on the Holy Spirit as a spiritual blessing. Oh, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. This is from Ephesians, the first chapter. And beginning at verse 3, we're going to read down through about verse 14. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So the key to this being blessed with these spiritual blessings is to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then what we're talking about in terms of these spiritual blessings really doesn't apply. "According," he says, "as he hath chosen us in him," and I think it's the he is God, chose us in him, Jesus, "before the foundation of the world." So this being blessed in Jesus was something that was determined before the beginning of the world, "that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood," that's one spiritual blessing, "the forgiveness of sins," and that's another spiritual blessing, "according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." So what happens with Jesus when he comes, when he came, excuse me, is that everything in heaven was joined with everything on the earth. That joining had not happened before. But it because it's so important that we understand this, he has to talk about it a little bit more. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works in all things after the counsel of his own will." So there is this inheritance. This is another one of those blessings that we have in Christ, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you After that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the prized possession, or purchased possession, excuse me, unto the praise of his glory. So we spent some time last week talking about how we're sealed by the Spirit. And we talked some about the secular uses of this word that's translated seal, and it's marking a person or a thing. It's to set a mark upon a person or a thing by the impress of a seal or a stamp. It's in order to prove, confirm, or attest a thing. To confirm, to authenticate, to place beyond all doubt, talking about a written document, to prove one's testimony to a person that he is what he professes to be. So when we talked about the seal, it seems to me that the emphasis in this word is something that is done for the benefit of not the person who is sealed, but for the benefit of the people that observe that person. So when I, to think about it this way, if I authenticate a deed, that's not for the person or for the deed itself. It's so that everybody else knows the authentic nature of that deed. So when we talk about a person being sealed, we're talking about the Holy Spirit given to that person, producing in that person some observable characteristics, so that I, outside of that person, I can look at that person and say, oh, that person has the seal of God. So it's something that I have, not necessarily for my benefit, but for your benefit, so that you can observe. And we talked a little bit about Acts, the sixth chapter. You see the same thing when the Apostle Paul talks about the qualifications of elders. He tells Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man. And he explains the reason for that. He says, some men's sins are hidden, and eventually they will come out. He says, it cannot be otherwise. If you don't have the leadership of the Spirit, you can hide that for a little while, but ultimately it's going to be obvious. So when we talk about a person being sealed, that's for the benefit of other people to know that I am owned by God. Now, there is this other idea that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. So let's talk about this idea that it's the earnest. Earnest is from Strong's number G728 in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 14. And you, in your outline, you have what the word looks like in the original language. I can't pronounce it that way. Can't pronounce it, not even going to try. It's used three times in the New Testament. And every time this word is used, it's translated earnest. It's used in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 22, 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 5, and here in Ephesians 1 at verse 14. And essentially in every case, it's called the earnest of our inheritance. When Thayer defines this term, looking at the way it's used in secular language, Thayer gives only one usage of this term in the secular literature. He says it would represent money which in purchases is given as a pledge or a down payment until the full amount will subsequently be paid. And that's something that we're intimately familiar with, an earnest money agreement. When I purchased my house. When I made my offer, I gave the owner a certain amount of money. And that was my pledge that if they took the offer, I would give them the rest of the money. So the earnest is something that I have. It's the earnest of my inheritance. God gives this to me. It's like the down payment, which is a part of the inheritance, but it's not the whole thing. And in contrast to the notion of the seal, which is the Holy Spirit given so that other people will know that I'm following God, the earnest, in my mind, seems to be something that's given to me as an assurance that God eventually will give me the whole inheritance. So they're a little bit different in terms of who it's intended for. I can't find that anywhere spelled out other than in looking at the definitions of the words. It just seems to me that there's a difference. A seal is something that authenticates for other people. The earnest of the inheritance is something God gives to me for my benefit so that I'll know that he'll give me the whole thing if I accept his offer. Does that make sense? Just interested in your thoughts about that distinction between a seal and an earnest.
I understand the earnest money really, really well, and that it's given, like you say, for us. And I understand the principle of the seal being that other people are supposed to know that God is active in my life. But I don't quite understand the seal part of it.
Okay.
I mean, how do we get the seal? I mean,
if the Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal, what's apparent to other people is what the Holy Spirit creates in us. So if the Holy Spirit gives peace, and I think that's the fruit of the Spirit. If I have peace, other people will be able to see that, and they'll know that I have the Holy Spirit.
Tying it to the fruit of the Spirit, that makes it a little clearer for me. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I hope that it does. I must confess, this is a little bit of a new tack for me. I have not pursued it in this way, but maybe it was fortunate that we didn't get a chance to get through the whole lesson last week, because it caused me to go back and think about, well, why does he use two different words here to describe what I have?
Dean?
Yeah.
This is the other Dean.
Okay.
I haven't studied this in a long, long time. I can't remember. Are either one of these words synonymous or have another use someplace in the sense of being a guarantee? And I might have missed that already. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that would be the earnest.
Okay.
which is the guarantee that God gives me for my benefit, that I'll be assured that he's going to give me the whole inheritance. And I think that whole inheritance, if we go back and look earlier in this paragraph, that whole inheritance, I think, is heaven.
Okay.
So the fact that I have the guarantee or the earnest, and it's the Holy Spirit represents me having a little bit of what I'll have in heaven.
I've heard someone, I don't know if this is correct or not, but put it in a historical context, meaning that the Holy Spirit, I think, especially, well, referencing Acts 2 for sure, is a guarantee to the believer or Christians. It's a historical evidence that we can read right there that God is behind this. And so I've heard persons stated in that way and further make an application, since the Spirit had to go away, I mean, Jesus had to go away for the Spirit to come, have also said, when you sit down in church or at home with your Bible in your lap or on your desk, you wouldn't have that witness. You wouldn't have that Bible unless you knew Jesus went to heaven and the Holy Spirit had come back. So they use it in that sort of concrete guarantee type thing. I'm not sure that's exactly right, but it makes sense to me a little bit.
Good point.
Can we look at this like a seal of approval, so to speak, like the when the king seals the letter with his ring, you know, like that? Could that be any comparison at all? Because I think of it like that, we're sealed. We have some sort of a, like you said, a visual thing that shows that he approves.
Right. Good point, Jimmy. And I think that idea of the signet ring, that's what's part of the seal. It's God's authentication. It's something tangible that other people can see. And I don't know that the my having the earnest is something that's tangible that other people can see. I think it's for me. The seal is for other people, so they'll know that I have the Spirit. The earnest, the Spirit as the earnest of my inheritance, is me having something that tells me that God is going to make the rest of the inheritance available. The kind of the whole thing.
Hey, Dean?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to this. I never thought about it. Who had signet rings in those times, in that culture? Who was it? I don't know who had signet rings. I mean, would kings have signet rings? I do not know.
Well, we read of it in when they're building the temple and things like that, when they sent things, letters to them, the king put his seal on it.
Okay.
I think it's not a question that I ever really considered. It's a good question. I think it would be the person who was in charge.
Okay.
And it might be the king, might be the sheriff of Nottingham. You know, that's the wrong way to say it, but might be whoever was in charge.
Okay.
The Caesar, of course, would have a signet ring.
All right. Yeah.
And the proconsuls out in the provinces, they would probably have one too, I would think. But so it would be.
Wasn't Daniel given the seal of the king when he are not not Daniel?
David.
Joseph. When he was in Israel, when he was put into second command, I seem to remember there was a signet ring that was given to him showing that he had all.
You know, I don't know, Carol, but I somewhere in the deep, dark recesses of my memory, which fails sometimes, I seem to remember that. I might be able. Do you think it was called a signet?
I just think it was called a seal.
Okay, well, let's see.
Well, I think a seal was a mark of ownership.
Okay, it was that too.
And when you were sealed, when we were sealed, as owned by God or owned by Christ because we were believers. This wasn't before the beginning of the world or because it's or he elected us. It was because we were already believers.
Is that
signet is in Genesis 38. And that's when Tamar was trying to extract something from Judah that she could use to prove that she had been with Judah. And he gave her his signet. I don't know. That's a good point, Carol. And I'll just have to spend some time looking at that kind of thing. I spent most of my time looking at this in the New Testament, since that's where we're going to find the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been talking about in our discussions tonight. But it's a good point and a good question.
Ian?
Yes.
In Daniel 6:17, whenever Daniel was in the lion's den, the king came and he had laid a stone over the mouth of over the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signet rings of his nobles.
Okay. So the king had one, and then the lesser functionaries in his palace also would have one.
Okay.
So it kind of fits with the notion of whoever was in charge would have the signet, the seal.
Dean?
Yes.
Genesis 41, verse 42, then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold necklace around his neck.
Okay. What translation is that, Carol?
American.
New American.
Okay. That's why I didn't find it. I was looking it up in the King James. Okay. So good point, everyone. And I, maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on the difference between earnest money and a seal. I don't know.
It does blend though.
That's what happens when the guy who's teaching the class has a whole week to ruminate on his outline.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can, because I'm thinking about it all week, I find things that aren't really there. So it's, I give it to you and you can do with it as you will. I hope it's helpful. The transforming work of the Spirit then in my life brings me to us to holiness, and that assures me that God is going to give me the rest of it, because I could not on my own do what the Holy Spirit does for me. I could not change my life on my own the way that the Holy Spirit helps to change my life. You're going to need that help from God. Now, that's not to say that the Holy Spirit does something for Christians that means that people that aren't Christians can't understand the Bible. That has nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. But when I'm a Christian, I experience a relationship with God, and that experience of that relationship is an assurance to me that God is going to give me the whole thing.
And that that's what the Holy Spirit is to us.
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
Dean?
Yeah.
Lee pointed out that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, 21 and 22, he established us with you in Christ and appointed us in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge.
Right. And your reading from the American Standard uses the word pledge.
And Lee says down payment, but mine says down, and it's both the American,
In the King James, that word that's translated pledge is translated earnest. So you're exactly right, Lee. This is the same thing. And again, I find it really interesting that there in 2 Corinthians 1, he also uses both of those words. The seal and the earnest. And I think both of those things are critically important for us. We need to be able to show other people that we are living according to God. And we need to know that God is going to give us the inheritance. Now, it is possible that I could walk away from the inheritance. But if I don't get the inheritance, it will not be God's fault. God has guaranteed that inheritance for me. Yeah, go ahead, Dean.
Oh, no, I didn't say anything. I was just thinking. No, I had no comment. I was just, did you say something? I was thinking.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this on Sunday. again, this is the guy who preaches on Sunday gets to think about this all week. And maybe I'm overthinking it. I hope not. I don't think that I am. And I'm sure that people in the first century, when they saw those two words, they would have known the nuanced difference between those two ideas. And I just don't. So here is the evidence, but it's evidence that's for me. And Lee already pointed out 2 Corinthians 1. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5 and at verse 5, he pretty much says almost exactly the same thing. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And then look at verse 6. Therefore, because this has happened, we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. So we have this confidence that means that unlike everybody else, we can approach death and say, oh, this is the other part of what I've already enjoyed. And that's a great thing. Mm-hmm. And then verse 9 is the, okay, if you have the confidence, what do you do in the meanwhile? While you're waiting for this, and we'll talk about that a little bit more on Sunday morning.
Where are you, Dean?
That's in 2 Corinthians 5. Okay. And I started reading at verse 5, and you read down through verse 9.
Okay, thank you.
That's where he talks about a confidence notion.
Well, I'm wondering, since you mentioned that, I was just thinking that for the Christian, it is, as you're saying, it's really important that we have a certainty about what we're doing and what we're believing, because there's so many philosophies out there that challenge that, and the take seems to be nowadays nobody can be confident of anything. You know, everybody has an opinion, and all opinions are equal. So I think that's a great thing that we can have a certainty about our standing and our faith and what we believe and trust in it.
And that's one thing we should be looking toward, is trusting in God and his promises. And he gave us the Holy Spirit as his pledge or earnest that his promises are true to us. And if we study and read the Bible, we're going to find out we are going to inherit heaven, provided we live a righteous life. And it's not by our method, our works or whatever. It's by God's grace and mercy.
Right. This is 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter.
Exactly.
You know, this is the kind of confidence that we have today, just like they did in the first century.
Thank you, Lenny.
You're welcome, Lee.
Okay. So I think that the sealing, the Holy Spirit sealing Christians is so other people will know that we belong to God. And the earnest is so that we will know that we belong to God and that God is going to give us the rest of the inheritance. So that's the way I see the importance of those two words. And then next week, we'll go on and we'll talk about if all of this is true, what would it be like to say that we grieve the Spirit?
Dean?
Yes.
In Hebrews 6, 4 and 5, the earnest is kind of like a taste. And so he uses the word taste. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, so they had the pledge and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away, and then so forth. And so it's like, you don't get the full meal until you die, but you have the appetizer.
Okay. What was that in Hebrews?
Chapter 6, verses 4 and 5.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And if you've had the taste and you walk away from it,
that's your fault.
It's your fault, but what more could I offer you? I've offered you heaven. You've had a taste of it.
Right.
You decided you don't want it.
Yeah.
And so you've walked away. That's, I don't know if you've ever, you've gone to Panda Express and you go through the line and the guy gives you a taste of whatever it is. If you don't like it, because if you get the whole thing, you're not going to like it any better than you like the taste. So if you don't like the taste and you walk away, then you don't want it. And that's, it's almost inconceivable that somebody could have a taste of something that's that good. I mean, how on earth could you ever taste teriyaki chicken at Panda Express and not just start drooling all over the counter? As you might have guessed, my favorite entree at Panda Express is teriyaki chicken. So now, Kim, on the other hand, does not like teriyaki chicken hardly at all. So if you get the taste, that's what keeps you going. And we'll talk about grieving the Spirit next week, which it's what we do, but it causes grief for the Spirit because of what we do. And we'll talk about that some next week. I knew we couldn't get through grieving the Spirit tonight, so I decided not to even try. And I thought that this was important enough to spend this much time talking about the difference between the seal and the earnest.